Well, good morning on this beautiful, warm December day. What's that? Amen. Amen. Hey, children's church. Yeah, good to see all those children there going to children's church. Yeah, probably ought to just mention Christmas Day, in case you don't come next week for some reason. Only going to have a Christmas service, just the 11 o'clock service. A lot of people aren't going to be able to make it for Sunday school or the afternoon service, so there'll be no lunch. So just the Sunday morning service that day. I know a lot of churches cancel completely. We will not do that. We need to at least honor Jesus Christ on the day that we celebrate his birth. But at any rate, how many women out there always complain that men never follow the instruction manual? Well, what's our instruction manual? Yep, we got it. They say, people say I'm narrow-minded. They're 100% right about that narrow. As we continue our study of being a priest under Jesus Christ, we see that God gives us a perfect laboratory of how to practice our craft, a perfect laboratory about how to learn godly submission, how to learn godly humble servant leadership. In marriage, we put into action the practice that will show joy in serving Christ to a lost and dying world. Now, you look out in that world. That world looks very like it's a lot of joy out there, right? Well, in this world, why do we have so many failed marriages? Not only divorces, but marriages that just don't seem to have any joy. You got two people living together. They go to their separate jobs. They come back. They do some chores. They don't have any joy at all. They're living as individuals instead of one flesh relationship, serving God as one. Living separately and complaining about the other one falling short. Any of you ever fall short in your marriage? Good, I don't have to talk about lying next week. They fail because people listen to the world instead of the Bible. They don't listen to the instruction manual that God has given them. Marriage is not a mere convenience. You know, we have marriages out there. Why? Well, we get tax write-offs, things like that. That is not the purpose of marriage. It is not a mere convenience. It is the greatest gift that God salvation. Still going to blame you. Listen to Ecclesiastes 9:9. Now, once again, when you read this, realize who's writing this. This is Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives and concubines. He had all the women he'd ever want. Listen to what he said when he realizes the error of his ways. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Mary is my portion in this life. In so many ways, God has blessed me. But if you take absolutely everything away from me, everything, right down to all that I have, even Maverick, if she's still by my side, I still have joy. Take Mary away from me, and I will give everything I have to try to get her back. I live joyfully because God has given her to me, and she is the full joy in my life. And I pray I'm the same with her. In our home, she is a priest under Jesus Christ in the role that God has blessed her with. I am a priest under Jesus Christ in the role God has blessed me with. Being my helpmeet, she's made me better. I pray I've done the same thing for her. Every marriage here should have that exact same testimony. Now, make no mistake, there is not one house in this place that would operate the same way ours does. God gives each one of us different strengths, different abilities, different personalities, different ways to make that one flesh come together. Learning how to give of oneself to each other is how you make that come out. So the attitude should be the same, but the practice will be different because each home is different. But we need to learn God's ways by living as one flesh, seeking to please God by focusing on others' needs and receiving joy by putting the other person's need in front of your own. As I said, this is in 1 Peter, teaching us how to be a proper priest of Jesus Christ. So we continue looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. Likewise, ye wives, Be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection under their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the wisdom you've given us. So thankful that you have shown us how to live a proper life. So thankful you've given us spouses, husbands, and wives that together, serving you as one, with hands held up to you, can draw together as one flesh, showing the world the joy that you give us in our abundant lives. Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you that you've given her, you've blessed me so much with her. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the opportunity to show how to show Christian love by showing it to her as she teaches me how to do exactly that. And I pray, Lord, that every family here will have a marriage that you intend, of husbands leading in a servant way, of wives submitting to that leadership, showing the picture of Jesus Christ in the church to the world. And Lord, giving us that joy that you intended for us. Let us learn how to do that, Lord, not listening to the world, but listening to your word. We ask it in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, in today's society, they want men and women to be 100% equal in all ways. I'll tell you right now, that's impossible. Men are superior to women in every way that God intended them to be as men. Women are 100% superior to men in every way that God intended them to be as women. Neither one of us are equal. Each one of us is superior to the other in the roles that God has given us. Today's women laugh at men trying to build things without reading the instruction manual. Yet they refuse to read the instruction manual as they try to live outside of the marriages that God intends. And men have failed in, it says in Ephesians, washing them with the water of the word, teaching them the word. So both sides have failed miserably in there, and that's why we have so many divorces and so many failed marriages. Now, this epistle was written to the fledgling church. Wives were becoming Christians while their husbands remained either Jews or pagans. And he was teaching them how to show godly submission. That by showing that godly submission, not fighting, not leaving, not divorcing, the men would then see what is different about being a Christian and would be drawn to that. This is not a call for women to marry unbelievers in order to lead them to Jesus Christ. I've heard that many times, and I've never seen a situation where going in, that was the assumption they had, that it succeeded. That's erring as they voluntarily become unequally yoked. But it's only to teach godly submission to show their unbelieving husbands the way, the truth, and the life. While this still works with new Christians still married to unbelievers, Christian wives quite often are more spiritually mature than their husbands. But taking the spiritual leadership in the home usurps the very thing that they're supposed to be mature over. Instead, they need to teach their husbands how to become more mature. Proper submission is how a believing wife can teach that less mature husband how to be more mature, how to lead the wife correctly, and how to bring that life back together as one flesh as God intends. Then becoming more mature himself, he can then lead in a more godly way. Both being more mature, they can then have more joy, the abundant life that God intended, and showing a lost and dying world once again what joyful marriages look like God's way. Now, you see all the fighting from the ungodly marriages, and you see the Christian marriages held together very well. Guess what? People will wonder, why is that? Right now, the Baptist churches have just as many divorces as outside the church. Why? We've been listening to the world too much. If we start showing that we don't have divorces there because we marry for the right reasons, we then serve for the right reasons, we have joy and we don't have divorces, the people would notice that also. So, we see in his teaching on priorities in marriages four things. First of all, wives are to submit. What is the focus of wives? Wives need to be honored, and then husbands need to love and lead. All these have to come in. First of all, wives submitting. Not popular today. Not popular at all. But we see here it is God's command to be in subjection to their husband in all things. Not husbands capable of leading. Not those worthy of submission. Not because they're godly men. Not even because they have done their parts as husbands. But because God made a special partnership with one head, and that head is the husband, providing proper skills and characteristics for each role. He's not superior to the wife. He's not better than the wife. He's not necessarily even more godly than the wife. It is what God intended. As I said, I'm narrow-minded. About that narrow? It's not me saying this. It's what the Word says. God provided this way from the very beginning. We'll be talking about a little bit about this in the afternoon service. In Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. After the fall, Genesis 3:16 says of the woman that her desire will be to her husband, and he would rule over her. That continues in the New Testament. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 to 35. The Corinthian church had a problem with paganism. They were coming to a very pagan society, and priestesses were trying to take over the church. Background of this word, of these verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 to 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Not popular in today's society at all. Not even a little bit. As I preach this, I'm nothing more than a male chauvinist pig who absolutely hates strong women. Probably be in the union leader today. But does the Bible not also command me to be submissive to government? To be submissive to God? I learn submission by Mary's godly submission to me. We see God's wisdom in our given roles. I'm a pastor. I'm a mature Christian. And I still have a whole lot to learn. Now, seeing her godly submission, her godly example, I learn how to submit by God's instruction manual, and I become better because of what Mary does for me. Still works today. God's will is for the husband and wife to stay together. But what if the husband is not a believer? God's way is still best. Listen to this story about a wife who was won to her husband, about a wife, excuse me, who won her husband to Christ. A Hindu woman was converted, chiefly by hearing the word of God read. She suffered very much persecution from her husband. One day a missionary asked her, when your husband is angry and persecutes you, what do you do? She replied, well, sir, I cook his food better. When he complains, I sweep the floor cleaner. And when he speaks unkindly, I answer him mildly. I try, sir, to show him that when I became a Christian, I became a better wife and a better mother. The consequence of this was that while the husband could withstand all the preaching of the missionary, he could not stand the practical preaching of his wife and gave his heart to God with her. Showing what a godly, submissive wife can do. It is, how much fruit do you think she'll have in heaven? She did exactly what the Bible says, and a man was saved because of it. Now, the Word of God saved her, but her submission brought him to the Word of God because he saw something completely different in her. Wives, do you want your husbands to be more godly? Follow the instruction manual. Be in subjection to your husband in all things. The next thing is, wives need to focus. How do wives teach godly submission to their husbands? Well, first of all, they need to show godly submission to their own husbands and to God, seeking to show a focus on a godly spirit, not to draw attention to themselves in the flesh. Women are to seek affirmation only from their husbands. Being modest in the world as they try to seek to please only their husband and to submit to husbands in the home. Letting the husband see their chaste life, a pure life away from home, and having confidence in them. Now, I'm gone half the month. I have absolutely full confidence in my wife when I'm gone because she shows that every day when I am home. Now, what he's talking about here, in plaiting of hair and things like that, has to do with society at the time. Women of loose morals used to do certain things that he talks about right here. The plaiting of the hair was excessive folding of the hair and lining it with thin strips of gold and jewels to make it more ornamental and reflect light that would draw eyes of men to them. Wearing of gold is the excessive wearing of jewelry, once again to draw attention of men, especially if placed in certain areas to draw men's eyes to areas where they're trying to accentuate. Now, we know this is not an outright ban of wearing tasteful jewelry. As if it was, the next line would make absolutely no sense. The putting on apparel they talk about is, once again, not just putting on clothes. It's putting on apparel to accentuate certain parts of the body to draw attention from men's eyes. Clothes can be stylish, pleasing, even expensive. But to be chaste, it must be modest. That is what he's stressing here, being modest, that they're not trying to draw attention from men's eyes other than their husbands. Golden jewelry worn in unnatural ways, belly piercings, things like that, these are the things we're talking about today. Now, have we changed at all? Are women any different now than we were then? Are women any different than Eve? Are men any different? We have the same problems with our eyes. We have the same problems being drawn to improper things. God is teaching women how to address that doesn't become a problem. What's the plaiting of the hair today? Now, I'm out there looking out there. I see a lot of women wearing buzz cuts. Why? They're trying to oppose God's order. I've seen a lot of women with green hair, purple hair, red hair, bright red hair. I'm not talking about just redheads, but bright red hair. Very natural. Why do they do it? Again, drawing attention. Style to draw attention in ways other than spiritual. Golden jewelry are worn, once again, unnatural ways. Belly button piercings, piercings in the ears, etc. Most styles of clothing today, you go to most clothing stores, it's hard to find modest clothing. Most of it is too short, too tight, too transparent. Once again, designed to be in style to draw attention of men to certain parts they have. Do you want to show submission? I'm a man of great style, right? You want to show submission? Ask your husband, who has absolutely no style sense at all, if this is appropriate dress. Because I may have no style sense. I may wear white after Labor Day. I may wear brown with black. I may do all those things. But I do know what draws men's eyes' attention to women. And I can tell Mary exactly what is chaste and what is not chaste. She may look ridiculous, but she'll be modest. So, instead of all these things, we need to let people see the Christ that lives within you, seeking not attentions to others, but only to be joined to your own husband, being gracious and fleeing youthful lusts, showing you are bound to your husband and Jesus, and to be able to serve as one flesh, building him up that others may seek your meek and quiet spirit, an ornamental heart of far greater value than rubies. You know, talks a lot about women in the Bible. In Proverbs, you find a wife that's a good thing. You find a contentious woman, you're better off living in a corner of a house, of a rooftop. Women, they say women are homemakers. My wife's a homemaker. No, that's a very demeaning term nowadays. Is that all you are, is a homemaker? You're kidding. But the woman is literally a homemaker. She is the one that sets the stage in the house. She is the one, by her example, that makes the joy of living there. As I said, without her, I would have no joy. She is the one that sets our house. She is the one. If you come to our house, if you come to my house, and she's not there for a month, well, you'll be able to get to the kitchen table. There'll be a path there that you can get through. The food will be some sort of real easy baked stovetop stuffing type food. If she's there, it'll be fresh, clean, beautiful, because she's the one that sets that. I need to help her win that, and I do a very good job of that, right? Now, Mary will never say, she didn't say anything about me there, right? She will never say a bad thing about me. Believe me, I give her plenty of ammunition. But she still seeks to submit to me, drawing me to her with her love and by her example, trying to see me change. She says I'm not quite as bad as I used to be. Now, she and other women here in Berea have that same testimony. Younger women here, they need to follow that example. They need to learn from the older women here that have successful marriages. Don't go to the woman that's been divorced 16 times. It's always the husband's fault. Go to the one that's been married for a long time. Ask him, how did you do it? Because that's exactly what Titus 2, 4 through 5 calls for. That they may teach the young woman how to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So, it is a skill that has to be learned, just like any other skill. Because the world wants to pull us apart. The world wants to destroy the family. If we have twice as many divorces in the Baptist church as there is outside, Satan's thrilled. Because all of a sudden, the example of godly marriage is out the window. That's why we need to go back to the word and learn it. So, last thing we need to do is make sure that wives are honored in that role. One reason the Bible is not held in high esteem today is it goes against modern ideas. Me? Submit to that slob? Have you seen him? Have you seen what he looks like? Have you seen the language he uses? You want me to submit to him? So the world thinks, if the woman is more mature, she needs to take a lead in the home. If the woman makes more money, she is the one making all the decisions. It doesn't work. We've proven it doesn't work. What's insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We keep trying it and divorce rates go up, not down. Are we learning anything? No, we're not. The woman might say, I'm smarter, work harder, and more spiritually mature, and smell better. Every one of these may be true, but it doesn't make you a daughter of Sarah. Sarah called Abraham Lord in Genesis 12:5 and Genesis 18:6. She left home and family to follow him to where she had no idea where she was going. Sort of like what Mary did with me when I decided God had drawn me to New Hampshire. At the time, I had no idea why. She didn't have any idea why. He's going, I'm going. A little bit of complaining, but... Sarah supported Abraham in his call. She was not perfect. You read about the problem Sarah had, she was not perfect, but guess what? Neither was Abraham. She adorned herself in ways to show that she trusted in God. She desired only Abraham's attention, and she served God with Abraham. Sarah is mentioned in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11:11, as a matter of fact. She had faith to conceive Isaac well past her age. She needed Abraham's leadership. She submitted to him, and then in faith gave birth to Isaac, allowing us to be their spiritual offspring. If she didn't have that faith, she wouldn't have had Isaac. If she didn't have Isaac, we would not have salvation, because that was God's plan to bring the godly line of Christ through Isaac. In faith, I am a son of Abraham, saved by the same faith that he had in our eternal God. In the same way, faithful women are to be held up and honored as daughters of Sarah, as long as they do well and submit to their own husbands, doing so regardless of their worthiness in return of affections. Say, she submits to me. I'm not worthy of what she submits to me for. I am not worthy of it. But she does it because God tells her to in the Bible. And by doing so, it draws me to her. And it makes us that much closer to one flesh. Now, what happens today? I can't love her because she's not going to submit to me. So I'll just hold back until she submits. What does she say? I'm not going to submit to him. He won't respond with love to me. So I'll hold back until he shows that love. Guess what? You end up here forever, and that's how divorces happen. So each one of you have to do it without any thought of the other one, and you give it to God. I love her. She doesn't deserve the love I give her. You know, she's a lot closer to her part from me, maybe, but she doesn't deserve the 100% love I give her because she still has problems in the flesh. But guess what? I don't deserve half the submission she gives to me. But by doing so, it gets us closer and closer and closer to that middle of one flesh. And as you get farther and farther into marriage, you learn how to get closer, and that's what brings joy up. They've done studies on marriages. Most people think the most joyful marriages are within about 3 months after married. Not true. I think it was 30 or 40 years. I can't remember what it was. The ones who learned how to mold their lives together. The ones who have learned how to abide in each other as Jesus Christ abides in the church. Because that's what a marriage is. It's a picture of Jesus Christ in the church. So when they've learned how to do that, that is when the marriages are successful. That is when it shows joy. Not the way the world thinks. The world thinks, well, right after you get married, that's the best time. Not the case at all. Now, amazement here talks about, literally means not fearing any fear. Wives should follow their husbands, trusting that as they obey their husbands, as the word says, that God will take care of it. They have no fear because God is dealing with the husband the same time he's dealing with the wife. So if she does her part, submits as the Bible says, God will take care of the rest. When they do so, husbands, you need to honor your wives. They're submitting to you. They're doing amazing things. You need to make sure you recognize that. So, that's the last part, verse 7, husbands lead. We see that God made the wife to be in subjection to her husband. From Genesis 3:16, to desire him as he rules over her. So, what do we have? We have a piece of property meant for our enjoyment, right? Is that what those verses really mean? Quite frankly, most religions think that. You know, the burqa fitting will be right back there after this sermon. You look at most religions, women are chattel. Chattel meaning property. Muslim religion, women have no value at all. They have to have burqas, things like that. And the men are the ones that have all superiority. I am not superior to my wife in any way. Being in a role as a man, yes. But as far as value, no. We are 100% equal in value. The Christian religion is what brought that to the forefront. It didn't really exist before that. China's one-child policy has caused severe problems because as soon as they find out they're having a girl, the girl's usually aborted. Why? Because boys are held to have more value in that society. So, Christianity puts both on an equal plane. Different roles, but equal plane. We need to remember that as husbands. We see that God made the woman as a helpmeet for her husband. We also see in Galatians 3:28 that to God, there is no Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male or female, but all are to be one in Christ Jesus. God in his instruction manual made roles. Abide in them. He knows what he's doing. He's got the instruction manual. He made the parts to fit together perfectly. Doing so, we honor each other. The wives have a great value. Our leadership is headship as servant leaders. Now, we're bought with a price. That price is the blood of Christ. Without that, we're hell-bound sinners. But by being bought for that price, we follow the instruction manual he left us. Now, Ephesians 5:25 says that. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Serving them by providing instruction, strength, wisdom, and love in your leadership, they see what you give them, and then they willingly submit to you. That's how that marriage comes together. We must learn to love, support, and cleave their own wives to show them that as their desire is to us, our delight is to them. Men are very poor at that. We like teasing our wives all the time. And I never do that to you, do I? Told you she'd never say a bad word about me. We like doing that, and that's the way men are. But men have a tendency of pointing out the problems their wives have. They talk about them. You know, my wife does this. Don't do it. You know? Believe me, I do that to her. Oh, she's got much more ammunition to throw right back at me. We need to hold each other up, esteem each other. Say, no, that's not the case with my wife. My wife loves me, and I would die for her. That is what people need to see from men. As saved people, if everyone here is saved, we are all joint heirs of Jesus Christ, every single one of us. But husbands and wives are one flesh. That's a joint heir far closer than any other joint heir we have here. She is to have honor as the weaker vessel. Now, the woman is emotional and not physically strong, but just like rare, fine china of priceless value. So what is that saying? Oh, she's the weaker vessel. So I need to be stronger. I need to realize, no, that's not what it's saying. It's saying we need to honor our wives. We need to carefully and tenderly take care of that fine vessel because it is of such unbelievable value. We don't want anything to happen to it. Now, if I have fine china at home, I'm not going to treat it like my pewter coffee cup and throw it in the corner. I'm going to very tenderly place it, making sure it's held in a place of esteem, making sure it's taken care of, making sure that nothing happens to it. That is what it's saying. Live with her according to the knowledge as under the weaker vessel, because God gave you that weaker vessel for you to love, that it can give you that beauty, that that unbelievable value that God intended for you. What she gives up in strength, she more than makes up in tenderness, in closeness, in devotion, and in care. Remember Adam's words of Genesis 2, 23 to 24. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A picture of complete joy, completing each other. I am not complete without my wife. As I say, I am superior in every single way to her as a man. But I am inferior in every single way as a woman. I hope. She is superior to me in every single way as a woman. Putting that together as one flesh completes the unit, and we can serve Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. As blessed as Proverbs 5:8 says, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Do you want your fountain blessed? Then rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Pray for her. Pray with her. Give yourself to her. Ensure that she knows that you consider her an extension of yourself and your absolute greatest value. You want her to respond? That's how you get her to respond. This is God's will in your life, in your marriage. To deny this is to be out of God's will. Being out of God's will causes your prayers to be hindered. That's what it's talking about. If you don't honor your wife, your prayers will be hindered because you're out of God's will. If you're out of God's will, your prayers will be hindered. Then pray that God will give you the proper attitude and to bring that, that union back. Because if you pray as one, God will answer those prayers. Husbands, love your wives. So, looking at the whole thing. Men are to lead, love, teach, and sacrifice for the wives that God has given them. Now, you got to realize the picture that God gave us. And we're going to talk about this a little bit in the afternoon, but, you know, when Adam had no helpmeet. God gave him a helpmeet. He had to be put to sleep. Well, there's more than one reason. God didn't want any help making a gift, because Adam could not have conceived the gift that he was about to give. So God had to put him to sleep. Take the rib, made Eve, then say, okay, Adam, wake up. Whoa. Wow. I like that, God. That's the attitude we need to have for our wives. It's the greatest gift that he could have possibly given us. And if we treat her that way, she will respond. If you don't treat her that way, she'll respond the way the world does. You don't want that. You want her to respond the way God does. So, if we fail in this God-given institution for pure joy, how can we expect to show the world Christian self-sacrificing love? Sacrificing for strangers. Or even worse, sacrificing for enemies. If we can't do it for our wives, how can we do it for the world? Marriages, once again, are God's laboratory to teach selfless sacrifice for our joy as we learn how to present Jesus Christ to the world. If the woman is smarter, wiser, more spiritually mature, she still must be in subjection to her husband in all things, because that's what the Bible says. Not Pastor George saying this. You can disagree all you want with me. Not a big deal. That's what the Bible says. Peter said it. Inspired by God. You disagree with him, you're disagreeing with God. By her gentle and quiet spirit, she can teach her husband to be a godly, submissive servant leader. Giving up her rights on this earth to the God who can change the heart of her husband by her faithful example. Or have him judged because of his ungodly behavior. Wives, do you want a better husband? Submit and pray for the one you have, putting his heart in the care of Jesus Christ. To be an effective and servant priest in this world, be an effective servant priest in your marriage. Husbands, self-sacrificing, servant leadership, giving of yourselves to your wife as Jesus Christ gave himself to the church. Wives, submitting to your husbands as God has called you to do. Both in God's will, abiding in Christ, and letting Christ abide in each one of you, serving as one flesh, serving God. Husbands, Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit to your own husbands is a picture of the church submitting to Jesus Christ. And that is what will bring the world back to Jesus Christ, showing that kind of joy. With that, what do we want to do in this world?
Yep. Proverbs
5:18. Sorry about that. That woman God gave us me didn't catch that. Tom's going to hit me later. So, Proverbs 5:18, if you want to look at that later. So with that, make me a blessing. Turn to hymn 475. Mary is getting back at me for that comment talking about my ability to hit that high note. You have the opportunity to do exactly that today if you're sitting here married today. Go home and make me a blessing. Make me a blessing to my wife. Allow my wife to be made a blessing to me. If every one of us does that, our marriages will be that much more joyful, that much more happier, and you will be able to show that joy to then make you a blessing to someone out there in a lost and dying world to be drawn to something they can't figure out because they don't have it. So I ask every one of you today, live that hymn as you go home and make yourself a blessing to the one that God's given you. Husbands, wives, draw each other closer that we can serve God in spirit and truth. It's one of the greatest failings of our church today. We're not living the way we should as one flesh marriages, and it's causing problems when we try to show that to a lost and dying world. Today, commit yourself to do exactly that. As we go to prayer, ask God to strengthen you that way, to look into the Word, to come this afternoon to figure out exactly how to do that, to understand how to make yourself a blessing in your own family that you can then show His love to everyone else. If anyone here is not saved, let today be the day that they become saved. They understand what the Word says, and they can make themselves a blessing. And after Rich plays a verse, I'll close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm a selfish person, like everyone here is selfish to a certain extent. And Lord, you have given me a beautiful wife, a wife to show me that when I lead her in a loving way, in a self-sacrificing way, in a servant way, I receive joy that's unbelievable. And Lord, you've given each one of us the opportunity to learn how to live a Christian life by seeing servant leadership in the home, by seeing godly submission in the home, bringing joy as we live godly principles in the home that we can then take it out into the world and show the world, a lost and dying world, the love of Christ, what He did for us in His sacrifice. Lord, He showed us the true servant leadership as He came to serve man by taking man's penalty. And Lord, I pray that you would make me a better husband, that you'd make all of us better husbands, honoring our wives as the weaker and invaluable vessels, honoring our wives submitting to us. And I pray, Lord, you'd give the wives godly submission, learning how to have pure joy by following your word, and by doing so, drawing our marriages closer together, having the one flesh relationships that you desired, seeing pure joy happen in this church as we live by your principles, and learning to live by your principles, then taking them out in the world and showing the world what godly leadership and godly submission is. As we go eat lunch, Lord, let us eat as brethren, let us eat as joint heirs, and let us eat in pure joy of knowing that you've served us so much, and now we need to serve others showing your love. We ask in your precious Son's dear name, amen.